Good morning for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry. Happy Labor Day. We'll start with some international news. Refugees from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan traveling through Hungary were welcomed by Germans and Austrians on Saturday, but it was a very different story yesterday. That's when Austria said it planned to end emergency measures that allowed thousands of refugees stranded in Hungary into Austria and Germany since Saturday morning. One of the lucky ones is Homan Shahad. He's a 37-year-old Syrian shopkeeper who spent 25 days on the road. He left his parents, a brother, a wife, a 7-year-old boy, and 2.5-year-old daughter behind. He hopes to bring them to Germany. Until then, he said, "I hope God protects them from the planes and bombs. My shop was bombed and my house was bombed." There are now more Syrians who are displaced or refugees than there are Syrians who've remained in their homes. It was a photo of a drowned Syrian 3-year-old boy who washed up on a beach that helped focus the world's attention on the plight of people fleeing their homelands, even though the crisis has been developing for years.
Hello, can you hear me? Please stay calm. Please stay calm. It's very important to stay calm. We will rescue all of you.
The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, reports that more than 264,000 people have arrived in Greece, Italy, Spain, and Malta so far this year by boat. Desperate people from Middle East, Africa, and Asia flooding into Europe. Hundreds are dying in risky journeys arranged by unscrupulous smugglers. In one day last week, Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, MSF, rescued over 1,600 in the Mediterranean.
We will save you, but stay calm. Stay calm.
Men, women, children, toddlers, and babies were in inflatable and wooden boats coming from Eritrea, Nigeria, and Somalia.
Now we put women, and everyone goes here, and then we separate afterwards. This allows...
President Obama had a recent meeting with King Salman of Saudi Arabia at the White House. They spoke about the crisis in Syria and ways to transition out of it. He also offered assurances that the Iran deal signed by U.S., Iran, Britain, France, Germany, China, and Russia comes with the necessary resources to help check Iran's regional ambitions. Saudi officials cautiously support the deal, but they're worried about enforcement and whether an Iranian government flush with cash after sanctions are lifted will wreak havoc throughout the Middle East. Meanwhile, another Democratic Senator, Ben Cardin of Maryland, joined New York Senators Chuck Schumer and New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez in opposing the deal. These are the only three Democratic senators to oppose the Iran deal. Cardin is the top Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee. He said the deal legitimizes Iran's nuclear program. Even so, the White House has the necessary votes to ensure that even if Obama ends up having to veto a disapproval resolution, his veto would be upheld. Congress has until September 17th to vote on the international nuclear deal with Iran. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Bernie Sanders jumped out to a 9-point lead over frontrunner Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. He also gained ground on her among Iowa voters in the Democratic presidential race. This is according to a pair of brand new NBC Marist polls. In New Hampshire, the Vermont senator gets the support of 41% of Democratic voters. Clinton gets 32%, and Vice President Joe Biden gets 16%. President Barack Obama used his weekly address to speak about the real meaning of Labor Day.
A day we set aside every year to honor the hard-working men and women who fought for so many of the rights that we take for granted today. The 8-hour workday, 40-hour work week, weekends, overtime, and the minimum wage. Safer workplaces, health insurance, Social Security, Medicare, and retirement plans. All of those gains were fought for and won by the labor movement. folks who are working not just for a bigger paycheck for themselves, but for more security and prosperity for the folks working next to them as well.
Labor Secretary Tom Perez penned an op-ed in the Boston Globe over the weekend. He said there are orchestrated efforts to stifle workers' voices. Underwritten by powerful corporate interests, some elected officials are moving to crush unions and hollow out the middle class. In some states, he wrote, the very labor unions that helped build the middle class are now the targets of withering political attacks that threaten their existence. The labor secretary writes, we should be amplifying workers' voices, not silencing them. In early October, the White House will convene a summit on the workers' voice. It will focus on how workers can make their voices heard in the workplace in ways that are good for workers and businesses. Meanwhile, the Murphy Institute for Worker Education and Labor Studies and CUNY's Graduate Center released a new report. It shows that 25% of New York City residents are union workers. That's double the national average, a rate which has grown 3% since 2012. It defies the national trend of diminished membership in parts of the U.S. New York State has over 2 million union members, more than any other state except California, which has a larger population. 43% of New York State's union members live in New York City. The study found that blacks have a higher union rate than any other group. Nearly 2 out of every 5 black workers in New York City are union members, compared to just 1 out of every 5 non-black workers. In addition, the study found that workers born in Puerto Rico who live both in New York City and New York State are quite highly unionized. This pays off directly in higher earnings and suggests that black and Latino workers could benefit disproportionately from an increase in unions elsewhere in the U.S. A cause for concern is that older Americans are more likely to be members of unions than younger workers. The study says that increases in union memberships, however modest, and the resumption of contract bargaining in the public sector here in New York City offer a basis for cautious optimism.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead, I never died.
Labor activist and songwriter Joe Hill was remembered this weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is where he was executed by a firing squad 100 years ago. Judy Collins headlined a concert where Hill's music and writings were featured. He was an immigrant worker and member of the Industrial Workers of the World, also known as the Wobblies. Joe Hill was executed by firing squad for a murder he didn't commit. Historian Laurie Taylor said Hill was assumed to be guilty because police of that era considered members of the Industrial Workers of the World Union to be radical criminals. No motive was given by police. Prior to his execution, Hill sent a telegram to another labor leader that became a rally cry for supporters. He wrote, "I die like a true blue rebel. Don't waste any time mourning. Organize." Then he wrote, "But please don't bury me in Utah." He would have loved this ode to his struggle, sung by Paul Robeson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
Says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you find your hill. It's there you find your hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.